This TFMR podcast is brought to you by Cyber Metals, a new digital precious metal platform from your friends at JM Bullion. Visit cybermetals.com for more details. Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. It's Wednesday, April the 3rd. Actually, technically, it's Tuesday, April the 2nd as we record this. And this is your Wednesday podcast. I'm going to be unavailable, not able to record a podcast this afternoon. So stepping in and pre-recording it with me is our old friend, Jim the Golden Jackass Willie. We did not get a chance to talk to him last weekend over the holiday because we had our regular beer with turd slash coffee with turd happy hour. So Jim graciously moved back a couple days and is providing some content for us here on Wednesday afternoon. Jim Willie, of course, the editor of the Hat Trick Letter, which can be found at golden-jackass.com. It's a subscription, but you can also sign up, click the button for a consultation if you ever wanted to speak with the Golden Jackass himself. He offers that as a service through his website. Again, golden-jackass.com. My friend, my longtime, God, Jim, we go back a long freaking ways. Jim Willie, pleasure to speak with you.
Turd and the Jackass. We go back to 2012.
Yikes.
Hey, I got to say, right off the bat, I got to say, I am now enjoying my 20th anniversary. 20 years. This is now issue 240 for the newsletter.
Goodness.
20 years. From, you know, a middle-aged guy to a bit of a, you know, crotchety geezer. Here we go. I'll never lose my attitude. It causes some problems. And now I got to say something, and I don't mean to liken myself to Jesus in any way. By the way, yesterday was, or 2 days ago, was Easter, which I believe is the most solemn of all Christian holidays.
Yep.
And notice that there was blasphemy by the entire Biden show with the recognition of, what do you call it, Transgender Day?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I tell you, there are a lot of sins and offenses and peccadilloes that people can commit, but blasphemy is taken very seriously by God and the Lord Jesus. I believe we are now about to see a turning point with respect to the Biden show, where they're knocked off their perches one by one by one. Now, here's what I was referencing. I am no Jesus and I am no prophet, but I've done reasonably well with a lot of aid from colleagues regarding rather important forecasts, you know, like Lehman Brothers, 0%, trillion-dollar deficits, gold trade note, you know, just your formation of the Eurasian trade zone known as BRICS.
Yep.
I'm kind of, it's hard to describe and remain humble, but I'm not a prophet, but I am a seer. In the old times, they'd have a seer who would, you know, advise like the king of Troy, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm a guy who lays it out as to what I expect to happen. And as that, I don't want to call it a prophet. Let's just call it an analyst, a forecasting analyst. Jesus said that a prophet is never honored in his hometown. He's recognized outside. He's recognized by people who did not grow up with him, were not his neighbors, didn't know him when he was a teenager, you know, pulling false fire alarms. I pulled one when I was 14.
I would imagine you were a rather mischievous young juvenile.
Oh, golly, I got stories. But anyway, the point is, my father did not recognize my value as an analyst. He actually insulted me for the death threats and called it an exercise in self-aggrandizement. Oh, Jim, get off your horse. Come on. What self-aggrandizement? That's stifling. That's pretty hard to take after a death threat in Munich face-to-face that made my knees shake for hours. My sister regards me as a bit of a kook, although she's a good person and a smart person. She's too busy to follow much of what's going on, but she is very aware of the government debt getting out of control. She's a good person, but you know, she doesn't say, "Oh, Jim, what's the latest? Oh, Jim, that's an interesting theory. Wow, I'll have to be careful about." No. It's, "Oh, there you go again. Okay." "My brother is pro-Biden, pro-Obama, doesn't know Obama's gay, and is totally lost and vaxxed. I don't expect my brother will be around much longer. And, you know, it's sad, but we move on." Okay, a prophet is never honored in his hometown. And I've had many clients tell me, "You know, Jim, it's not unusual that you don't get the respect from your family." And that's just the way it is. You get a lot of respect outside. All right, so here we go. And we are in dangerous territory. You said you had a first topic.
Well, let's start with, because your sister, the mention of your sister is a good lead in. There is a, at my site, and as long as we've been friends, we've always talked about the end of the great Keynesian experiment, right? Where you get this terminal phase of debt growth and you can't print the cash and you can't grow fast enough to service it. And it all just spirals out of control exponentially at the end. The fact that people like your sister are waking up to, wait a second, that's another $1 trillion. So, you know, we're going up a trillion
She knew it was a trillion every three months,
90 days. Yeah. So more people are becoming aware of that. So let's tie that then to, gold having been at least the recognized COMEX price. We don't need to get into, that's just on the chart, the daily price. That is flashed on Bloomberg and CNBC sideways for three and a half years between 1700 and 2000, finally got above 2100. And now as we record this today, it got to 2298, probably due for a breather. But in your estimation, my seer, what's driving all this? Is it that recognition, that kind of great growing recognition that we're in the terminal phase?
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Okay,
yeah.
Next question.
Okay, this really needs some explanation. I got to have a little time here.
Okay, roll with it. This gives me a good chance to go use the restroom.
Okay. what I have been monitoring is the language, the buzz, the spin, and the explanations from the official crowd. And what I'm hearing mostly is that gold is rising because there's a sense of price inflation out there that's becoming harmful and, you know, cost effects, economic damage from price inflation. So it looks like gold is going up as a hedge to price inflation. And with a brief acknowledgement that debt is going up. Debt is pretty high. But they mentioned price inflation. So I figured that you might have three priorities in the mainstream about why gold is going up. The first two are price inflation, and the third is the deficit. Okay, now that's all well and good. I say that we've got a combination, a horrendous cocktail. I've been saying now, and you probably heard me say it for 2, 3, 4 years, gold will take off when the dollar is facing its sunset and the Treasury debt, government debt, is in big, big trouble of default. And I said in 2012, that by the year 2020, we're probably going to approach the time when the government debt is out of control and will face some threats for default, 2020. And I contend that the COVID bullshit and the planned pandemic and all the related con games were a result of a first phase Treasury default that manifested itself with the repo window blowing up to 1.4, 1.6 trillion per night in late 2019. I believe that was the first rattling of the Treasury bond government debt default. The second one was in late 2021, when in Long Beach, as I was told by a client of mine, in Long Beach, they rejected the Treasury bill. And before you know it, there's a problem in Ukraine. And there's no rejection of the dollar, and there's printing like crazy. All right, so the cocktail that I'm referring to goes in this, not necessarily in this order, but certainly to include the following. Treasury debt, government debt has gone out of control, $1 trillion every 3 months or 100 days, $1.1 trillion annualized for the borrowing costs. Treasury bond auction problems, hiccups, a lot of games being played, money under the table handed to our European friends to bid on treasuries in auctions. So a lot of problems, record-setting treasury bond dumping by foreign central banks and monarchy wealth funds. They don't have central banks in, you know, the Persian Gulf. They have monarchy wealth funds that the royals steal. Anyway, treasuries being dumped in record volume, including in Japan, which is acting more like a BRICS nation than any of the BRICS nations without the name of a BRICS nation. That's Japan. Okay, there's more. The BRICS are trying to organize, and what I think they're doing is they're developing a greater gold depository nation by nation in order to accommodate the gold token. So you have treasury bond debt out of control, facing default, foreigners dumping, the BRICS switching from treasuries to gold. And then you've got the war element. Okay. It's interesting that none of those four is given front headlines in the United States for why gold is going up. They mention the debt, but they also say that it's manageable and might result in some more inflation. They use the debt to justify their inflation argument behind the gold move. Now, let me get to technicals. If you look at a 12-year pattern, I mean, starting in 2012, that long-term reversal pattern is pointing to 2,600. If you look at a 3-year pattern, and they call that intermediate. So the long-term and the intermediate. The intermediate 3-year is pointing to 2,600. I have never in all these years seen an intermediate and long-term pattern pointing to the same place, which is a good bump up from where we currently stand. I think we're looking at 2,600 by autumn. And I make that very general. And I've been misquoted a couple times, Lord Hemke, and I'm a bit bothered by it because, you know, when I get misquoted, it gets spread around. I have not said, look for a June, July Treasury bond default. I have said the following, look for June and July talk, debate about Treasury bond default, talk and debate. That's what I expect we will see. And the talk and debate is sufficient to light a big ass fire under the gold market and rising price. By summertime, we are overdue. I'm not going to say it's going to happen. We're overdue for silver to get past the 30 resistance. And when it does, it could be this autumn. If we get 2,600 gold, I do not see a silver price that will remain under 30.
Yeah.
But we just don't know. Yuraraj, my colleague, said, Jim, we are very likely to see the financial system break when we get over 100 on the gold-silver ratio. So that'd be 26 silver, 2,600 gold, something like that. He said it's going to break. And what it'll do is it'll fracture the petrodollar derivative. And we're going to get a lot of consequences from that. Okay. Anyway, back to gold. The price is now setting records. There were events in December, which I thought were very critical. And I pointed them out. in my newsletter and in several different interviews, those forums, the events were that China and Shanghai wrestled and took control of the gold price. And China had 10 banks that backed out of, I think it was the London Gold Fix, and I don't know, I think it was the London Metal Exchange. Anyway, the Chinese backed out of that. And shortly afterwards, in London, they changed the futures contract for gold to be yuan. Now, to me, it all adds up to Shanghai taking control of the gold price in a very positive way for gold investors. And I think at the same time, they're investing more in gold to fortify their own currency, the yuan. And I believe that there will be a few different centers for supplying the BRICS nations with gold. It'll be Shanghai, China. It'll be Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. And it'll be another surprise player for gold provision, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And I've been told by a really good insider source who knows Saudi. He said, Jim, they have made available, they're talking about like at least 10,000 tons of gold from Shrine Gold in Saudi. I mean, Shrine, like in Jeddah. And you know, the very important temple locations in Saudi Arabia. One nation that's never talked about regarding gold provision for the BRICS is Persia, Iran. And right now they're caught up with, you know, defending the Suez Canal. I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but that I think is a dollar killer. The Suez Canal is a dollar killer. So anyway, you got China, UAE, Saudi, and Iran, Persia as providers for gold for the BRICS nations. Okay, they've been rather quiet. And I believe that their de-dollarization is moving along briskly. And there's some, you know, what do you call it? Noise on the side from India. But apart from that, they're moving rather quickly toward blockchain type trade payment. And they're doing everything possible not to use the name XRP. I think XRP is going to play a role. They're doing de-dollarization. They're saying we want non-dollar trade payment methods. And that is really powering gold. It's also dumping treasuries. And I think that we've got a very big question to answer, Craig. I'm sorry, Lord Hemke. And that is, where's the hidden hand in holding this all together at the Fed, Department of Treasury, the dumping, and the new debt? Where is the hidden hand? I got my theory.
Well, that would be, we might as well just go to that next, Jim. The only other thing that was on my mind as you were speaking is, I've seen a lot of people and heard a lot of people talk about China seizing control of the global gold market. And you look at what has, I mean, there's been a sea change. It used to be back in the day that you'd get dumping in London all through the London session, which is overnight here in the US. I always used to call them the London monkeys. I mean, it was 4 days out of five every week. Price would fall during London. And now, 4 days out of five during the week, price rises, not only in the Asian session, but during London, only to be smashed back in New York in paper. The other thing too then, Jim, is this consistent spread that seems to be ever widening a little bit at a time between the Shanghai price and the London, New York price. And simple arbitrage. Somebody on my site the other day did like math, you know, all the way down to renting a Boeing to fly the silver or the gold from London to Shanghai at $50,000 an hour. Just a simple math of closing that through arbitrage, and it doesn't get done. It's not happening.
Could be very real. It could be very real. I actually have a client. He's a good guy. He's a good guy, and he follows what I call the delta. How much higher is Shanghai than COMEX?
Uh-huh.
And it's actually shown COMEX to be a little bit higher in recent weeks. I don't mean a lot. I mean like $5, like 10, 12 bucks. And right now I tell him if it's plus or minus 20, To me, that's zero. Plus or minus 20 is zero. That's just noise.
Yeah.
But we had a high on the Delta, where Shanghai was 117 higher in November. And my argument was, well, this is the initial stage of China taking control of the gold market. And now the Delta is over 100. It's going to pull up COMEX price. And what I had, not an insider, but a really smart guy who does some precious metals futures trading. He said, Jim, the new phenomenon is that London and New York will play around. They'll play their games. They'll pounce on it with naked shorts, but they finish their games before 4 p.m.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to get slammed by Shanghai. Now, that is a very big sea change. It means that they don't control the price. They control the Shanghai night. And that's very big news. Okay, here's the hidden hand. I'll just present it as a little paradox. We had an enormous amount of treasury issuance. We had bond auctions that did not go well. We had primary bond dealers in trouble. We had foreigners dumping treasuries at a huge volume, and the Fed reduced their balance sheet. Pardon me?
Nope, I just was letting you go.
No, I know. I'm saying pardon me.
Oh, I see.
Pregnant pause. The pardon me is duh. How's that happen?
Right.
The hidden hand, I believe, and it's going to become more an issue. It's the multi-trillion-dollar exchange stabilization fund.
Yeah. What else is possible?
I don't see anything else as possible. And I like the Sherlock Holmes methods of analysis. Put it all on the table. And despite how unlikely, if it's the only really potential reason for something happening to explain, then that must be it.
Yeah.
And I watched a lot of Sherlock Holmes, and I watched a lot of Perry Mason. That was during graduate school. My lunch break was Perry Mason. Okay, back to this issue. Let's just say that there's a real problem and they need, say, 2, 3, or 4 trillion to buy time until November to hold it all together for, say, the Biden show to resign, which I think is the big pressure now. But the point is, if they need 2, 3, 4 trillion to hold the bond market together, by that I mean the treasury bond market. Everything follows the bond market.
Yep.
They will tap the exchange stabilization fund. I believe that when the Fed contract ended in, I don't know what it was exactly, like 2018, and it wasn't until 2020 that anybody did, I'm sorry, 2000, ooh, I got that wrong. It wasn't until about 2019 that anybody did anything about it, like cut the cord with the Vatican, begin the procedure of dissolving USA Corporation. I believe that Trump brought the Fed under Wall Street control in the last year of his administration, 2019. That is my belief. In doing so, he captured the New York Fed and the Exchange Stabilization Fund. Now, Rob Kirby and I talked a lot about the ESF, and I have information from a pretty reliable source with multiple national integration of information. Rob Kirby was murdered because he had a biweekly column in the Moscow Financial Press, and he talked about the Exchange Stabilization Fund.
Really?
Yeah, that's why he was killed. And I have lots of details on the method. I have very little details on what he posted in Moscow. It was translated into Russian. Word got back, he got targeted. Now, when I talked last with Rob, it was about 2 months before he got targeted and entered the hospital and they killed him with remdesivir. He told me, Jim, I think ESF's got at least 15 trillion, could be 20. And I said, well, you know, I'm no expert, Rob, but based on my gut and a lot of different pieces I put together, I think it's at least 8 to 10 trillion. He said, all right, well, let's just call 10 to 15 trillion. And I said, confirm for me, Rob, did they take $1 out of $5 or $1 out of $4 from OPEC oil sales, which never exited the treasuries? And they just take like Saudi oil sales and put treasuries, 1 out of 5 treasury bonds in the ESF? And he said, yep, that's exactly what they did. I said, it's all OPEC. It's Nigerian too, right? And he said, it's all OPEC. That was the deal. All OPEC dollars, all OPEC sales, 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 4, as you say. But he said, let's just go 1 out of 5. I said, all right, so you got 50 years of oil sales, and that would account probably for 10 to 15 trillion, I would think. And he said, well, absolutely. All right, there's a lot more to do with the ESF I don't want to get into because it's distracting. But I think they're going to hold things together possibly by tapping the ESF.
Well, that's what I'm thinking as you're talking. I mean, that implies that they can keep the plate spinning a little longer than you might think otherwise.
Now, you might think that that's a lot of money, and it is a lot of money, but let's get real here. We got $8 trillion of long-term treasuries that are rolling over to be refunded this year.
Yeah.
Got another $2 trillion of short-term, and we got another $2-plus trillion for current deficit that has to be securitized and sold as treasuries. That total is $12 trillion. Okay, I like the 12 number because it makes napkin math really easy. We've got to do $1 trillion a month in auction sales or coverage by the ESF.
It runs out pretty quick.
That's a lot of chicken. It boils down that 10 to 15 trillion real quick. Anyway, there's going to be some combination of, let's just call it, captured allies like Britain and Japan recently had some more purchases, not a lot. Japan, Britain, Brussels, Belgium, you know, the hive, the EU hive. There are others. I think Sweden had bought some. Okay, so it's going to be a combination of captured allies buying some, doing their good doobie job, but it's going to be some monetization also, printed money. And then there'll be the ESF. So the combination of allies, monetization, and ESF, I think, will keep the plate spinning, as you say. Now, that will not stop the talk and debate of Treasury bond default, government default. It is talk that will get a fire lit under gold. This gold market is going up above 2000, above 2100, above 2200 for a very simple reason. This is the year that things break for the treasury bond market. The talk and debate will propel it higher. This is exciting. And the ESF, you know, there's another side to the ESF. They're not going to use too much of it because what they don't use, they can steal.
and that's where $15 trillion is a lot of money.
It's, oh my God. If you stacked up $1 trillion $1 bills and ignored the pressure and compression of the stacking, $1 million is Empire State Building. $1 billion is the stratosphere, like 200 miles up. $1 trillion is a third of the way to the moon, and therefore $3 trillion, which is our current expected annualized deficit, is a $1 bill stacked to the moon.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of talk and scuttlebutt. St. Louis Fed came out and said, we have an unsustainable debt situation. Now, I'm a statistician. My career has been in statistical analysis, marketing research, quality control, forecasting in sales, et cetera. And I learned at an early stage in the newsletter, when I cut my teeth on demonstrating the false statistics for price inflation, jobless rate, and the economic growth, GDP, I learned something, that the St. Louis Fed is where I could get a job. That's where they do the number crunching and the statistical analysis and all the different modeling. It's not done in New York. That's where the insider trading algorithm trading, ESF confiscation, and all criminal activity is done. New York Fed. In St. Louis Fed, they do the statistical analysis. So when the St. Louis Fed says the debt is unsustainable, it is unsustainable. And they've run their models and they all break. Okay, this is the year. This is the year. Now, if we don't get a debt default this year, we're going to get probably at least the preparations for a debt default.
Yeah.
We're going to get, say, the protocol for foreigners in their unsold treasuries, how they're going to be handled. That's what I call default protocol. We're going to get a lot of other things, like how much gold will the United States have to forfeit in order to remain? This is really delicate. How much gold will they forfeit in treasury bond dumping in order for the United States not to be embargoed on a global trade?
Yep. Okay.
That's what I call default protocol. And lastly, this is not poppycock bullcrap. I think Texas is going to apply for BRICS membership and declare at least financially their sovereign independence.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be earth-shaking. In fact, I'll go so far as to enter a little bit of the political climate by saying they're going to try to pressure Biden or whoever is pretending to be Biden. For those who don't know, Biden is long gone, or at least he's a vegetable. I think he had a stroke. I don't really know. Hard to verify. Rumors of an Arlington Cemetery headstone. Okay, they're going to pressure Biden to resign. And that's a lot simpler than having an election. And if he is pressured to resign, some of the pressure could come from three different areas. One is Texas saying, we've got federal violation of the Constitution regarding border invasion. That's one. Second, we wish to have BRICS alliance membership and cooperation toward trade. That's two. And three is related to that. Gold will have its own repository in Texas, and we'll have gold as legal tender for satisfaction of contracts. And I don't want to get into the details, like, you know, for buying assets or satisfying debt, what, you know, all the different ramifications, but legal usage of gold.
Yeah, they've been working on that for a couple of years. They had a bill. I just wrote about this a couple of months ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And delays for ballot for election purposes. Okay, let me just finish the point. I mentioned the three things of border clash, BRICS, and legal gold. They're going to use that to force Biden to resign.
No, I still think that is something that's out there before the election, before the convention, perhaps, by late summer.
You've got two issues, Biden resigning, and the other one is Biden wins the nomination and then backs out of the race and hands
right.
His delegates to somebody who's not prepared, or someone who's not qualified, or someone who's very confused about putting one sentence after another, and you get absolute chaos and disorganization.
Yep.
And for the Democrats, and they lose by 70% in the election.
I mean, all of that is in play as we go through the summer, and all of that ties us back to our, you know, initial question about gold and breaking out and rallying and how far it might go. Let me just ask you this in our kind of our final minutes, the last question, because I was thinking about this one while you were speaking. You know, there we talk about gold going higher, and it has consistently for 25 years now, whatever, 10% a year under this current scheme, right, of derivative pricing in New York and physical delivery in London and all that kind of stuff. Do you think the gold price continues higher just in the way it has in kind of cooperation of Shanghai and London and the like? Or do you think there's a possibility of this, I don't want to, yeah, they're not reset, but where China just says, or Russia just says, all gold to me. We are buyers of gold at $5,000 an ounce. you know, something like that. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, the way I like to say it, the way I like to capture it and you know, what's the word, describe it, is if and when, I think it's going to happen, when we get continued talk and debate about Treasury bond and U.S. government debt default, gold continues, and it is enabled by the Shanghai market having control. Furthermore, there's something that we have not talked about much. I have in the past. A fellow named Zylstra in the 1990s said that there will come a day in the next couple of decades when the central banks are all insolvent, and the only way they can get out is to load up on gold and send it to 10,000.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you look at that Fed balance sheet right now, right?
I don't pay much attention to commodity commitment of traders, nor official gold reserves. I know that sounds like heresy, but I believe that they're full of bullshit, they're full of false data, and they're full of absolute fucking irrelevance.
Trying to wrongfoot you for sure.
Now, if that's the case, then I care about their double books. And I know every Wall Street bank. I had a consult call a few months ago, and he said, Jim, do not give away my identity. Do not give away my age. Do not give away my location. But every Wall Street bank has a significant gold reserves. Every single one. He says, it's double booking, and I've seen it. Okay. They're all loading up on gold. And the central banks are loading up on gold, and they are the primary reason why gold has broken 2,200. Furthermore, as I said before, when you have the continuous debate about default, you've got the power. When you've got the Shanghai taking control, you've got the roadway and enabling. And in the background, you've got the central banks, what was it, $120 billion? The Fed lost this year for the Treasury. This is insane what's going on. The Fed is broke. All the central banks are broke. The way they get out of it is they go long and they load up on gold. And here's, I'm going to make a real crackerjack box forecast for the distant future. Once we get past 3,000, 5,000 will be quick. And 10,000 will be around the corner by central bank dictates. The same thing goes for silver, but for different dynamics. When we get past 30, like 32, we get short covering. We go to 50 in a flash. And it is amazing how short the coffee break is at 50, because it'll go to the Fibonacci 80 very quickly. And before you know it, we're over 100. And it's going to be in the space of just a few months after getting to 50. This is what's going to break. And I'm looking at the dynamics and how it might happen. But the talk of debt default is the gigantic global power. It's why the foreign central banks and the monarchy wealth funds are dumping treasuries. It's why they're not attending the auctions. We might see a primary bond dealer croak in the next couple of months. That would be a very big event. And we got a lot of problems that we haven't talked about, like the end of the bank term funding. I call it the vestibule for a bank entering failure. That's ended. The reverse repo is got its own changes. I'm not prepared with notes to speak intelligently about that, but there are a lot of changes, and we got $750 billion of unrealized losses by the big banks, and they're primarily treasuries. You have the Fed that now owns, I think, $2.3 or $2.4 trillion in mortgage bonds. So if you're wondering who did the mortgage bond Hoover job, lapping up all that nobody wanted to bid on, the no-bid mortgage bond market, the answer is the Fed. The Fed is the bad bank. The Fed is the loser. The Fed is the buyer of bullshit, tarnished, impaired paper that nobody wants. Okay, all this is happening this year. This is going to be a 2008 type year. In January of 2008, I said, this is the year the banks break over mortgage finance. And I had the biggest month in my newsletter life in October of 08. And it was thrilling, but it was also very disturbing. I've been saying for 2 years, Lord Hemke, that when the Treasury bond starts breaking down, the banks begin to break, caught in the middle, and we've got an event that's five times Lehman.
Yeah, at least.
So that's my layout of how we get to 10,000 gold.
Well, Jim, you've done a wonderful job, I think, of not only explaining things, but inspiring people to go to golden-jackass.com. I always promise people we try to keep these calls a little shorter during the week. Give everybody a little hint of issue 240, and then tell everybody again what they can find should they go to golden-jackass.com.
Well, the newsletter is the stock and trade. I only have one. Occasionally I have a special report, but that was mainly back in 2020 and 21 health reports, to guide people for survival and not to fall prey. But I have very few special reports. It's the golden-jackass website. I'm celebrating the 20th anniversary, and I'm not really sure how to celebrate it because I'm still suffering. I'm still supporting, six, seven kids, and they got a lot of bills, and they're growing up. They go to school. They have a roof over their heads. They need to eat. They need a little bit of entertainment. They need to buy books. They need to buy an occasional computer or tablet or something. Okay, I'm being whacked not so much by child support. And that implies that they're all mine. They're not. Only three are mine. And the rest I help because they're good kids and their mothers are good people and they shouldn't suffer from the economic lockdown. But it's golden-jackass. Sign up for the newsletter. I've got consult calls. I did one 2 days ago. Very interesting. Very interesting. A fellow from North Dakota. Jim, are you aware of the State Bank of North Dakota? I said, yeah, you got your own central bank. And he's telling me little stories about threats that they have. Texas is about to make their own state bank. Texas is the key, not only for the future of the nation, but for using leverage to get rid of Biden and the fake show. All right, so we got the newsletter. It's the subscribe button right in the middle. I got consult calls. I got a donate button. No more PayPal. They can eat shit and die. They're a Nazi organization. I've got a sponsor button for wealthier people who find a place in their heart to help me out in a big way. And that's been used recently a couple times. But I'm telling you, these unusual events, and people tell me, don't talk about all the unusual events and demonic attacks. And I tell them, why don't you start a newsletter? Why don't you expose yourself? And why don't you see several hundred thousand in losses and see how you react? Okay, I'm the target, I think, Lord Hemke, of some very powerful dark occult forces. They come in the form of collapsed roofs, electrical fires, car crashes, blown up septic tanks, rat attacks, and more. And it has depleted my savings. That's why I appeal to aid. And Christians out there, they follow, the Lord and some of his guidance. And, we're told in the Bible, ask and you shall receive, have faith, and it will be, realized. I'm a Christian. Without the Lord Jesus and his followers, I would have shut down 4 years ago. I've received a good deal of aid, and the sad part is that it has to continue because I still get these very bizarre events. Now, you know what a Three Sigma event is, one out of 200, half of 1%, one out of 200 odds, 200-1 odds against. I've had at least 15 in the last several years. I'm going on 20. This is unbelievable. And I'm hoping that I get redeemed and replenished by some means, when this is all done, I want to get to the other side, and I don't want to be dead when it happens, and I don't want to be a pauper when it happens. So help me out. Sign up for the newsletter. Gain something in return. Do a consult call. In a consult call, it's very customized, and I always give extra time. Well, thanks for having me on. It is the top of the hour, and we met our goal.
We did it. And again, you know, for everybody that says, you should let Jim go on for 3 hours, because I know we could. If you want more Jim, just hit the consult button, for crying out loud. I mean, not everything in the world's free. So
we can always do a show. We can call it Between Holidays.
Between Holidays with Turd and the Jester.
Well, we missed the President's Day. That's no big deal.
Well, we'll get together on Memorial Day. That'll be about 2 months from now. Did you see, by the way, the last remaining survivor of the USS Arizona passed away yesterday? He was 102. 102. He was the last one.
Well, I got some news that's rather unfortunate, but at least one of those boats, they prevented the escape so that we would have victims in order to justify.
Oh, back in 41, like, there's a lot of stories out there like that.
And also regarding Pearl Harbor, why did the Japanese Air Force not attack the Hawaiian fuel?
The fuel dumps. They needed one more sortie to go back there and blow up all those
oil. Good war.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, with that, Jim, again, thank you for all you do. It is going to be, we've been talking about this year for quite some time. God knows what the world's going to look like by Memorial Day.
Things break. Yeah. And it's not going to be quick. And it's not going to be, oh my gosh, it's finally over. No. This is going to take a year or two more.
Yeah. All right, my friend, we will do it again in May. Golden-jackass.com. The Great Seer, a reading from the book of the prophet Jim.
Not honored in his hometown.
A reading from the letter of Jim to the Turdadians. My friend, thank you. We will do this again soon. Be well.
All right. Thanks, sir. Bye now.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll get back to business tomorrow.